Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to talk a little bit about taxation because, hey, yesterday was the big tax day, and, you know, there's some interesting conversation to have there. Also, I want to talk about the fact that I taught this weekend, and whenever I teach, it gives me the opportunity to get to meet, you know, people. I think there was about 40 or 50 people there, and get to meet them and hear their stories and what they're all about is really interesting, because what I found to be true is that probably all of you think that your life is completely different than everybody else's. And within the fact that there are all kinds of jobs and positions and things in life, and it comes in sickness and health and wealth, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's pretty much living the same kind of life, especially people listening to this show, because you're looking for something. You're looking to change your life. You may not realize that because I'm just listening to you because you're interesting. I don't know that I'm that interesting. I would like to think I'm interesting, but I don't really think that's why most people listen. I don't think I know that's not why they come in and get involved with me, is because they want to change their life. They're living that life that I always talk about, that quiet desperation, and they want to do something about it. So today we'll talk a little bit more about the people that I met and the things that have come out of what they had to say. But let's start with the tax thing. Boy, I'll tell you what, every year, when I do my tax return, I realize how powerful real estate investing is. You realize if it's done correctly, and that's important, you have to have it set up the right way. If it's done correctly, you can pay little to income taxes and absolutely no Social Security and Medicare taxes on your real estate income. In addition to that, if you're a real estate professional, you can write some of those off, large amounts of money off against your earned income of other types of income. And even if you're not a real estate professional, there's small amounts you can write off against your earned income. So it's a win-win-win-win-win situation. I know that I had to take my tax stuff in, and they do my tax return because they have all my material and information, and we feed it to them quarterly, et cetera, so that the CPA can say, okay, you need to pay in this much for each quarter and estimate and so on and so forth. But we get down to the end. What I hadn't given them was the information on another property I'd purchased. And literally, I took this information in. I said, look, here's a property I bought. I didn't get you the info. Here's the info. And let's see what it does to the tax return. And it reduced by $150,000 my tax return. Now think about that. $150,000 deduction because I bought a piece of real estate. You just have to think about it. Now, I pay a lot of taxes because I own a bunch of different companies. I own real estate companies. I own software companies. I own real estate sales companies. I own apartment complexes, and I own commercial real estate. So I have a lot of different irons in the fire, and I make a lot of different money a lot of different ways. But you know, when it comes down to it, most of them are related, real estate related, except for the software company. And so we get these really nice deductions. We don't have to pay income tax on the income, which is really a neat thing. So we want to see you get involved that way. Remember, you're either one of the people that are paying the taxes or one of the people that are not paying the taxes. You got to look at it that way. With all the tax fraud that's out there right now, it's got to irritate a lot of people. You got to be upset when you see how many hundreds of millions, even probably billions of dollars that are being stolen out of Minnesota, and now they're gone to California and they're proving that's being stolen. I mean, it's not that we don't want to pay our share of the taxes. We just don't want to pay tons of taxes because they're just wasting the money anyway. So we pay our fair share. And the tax code allows for us to write these things off when we own real estate. So let's talk taxes. Well, let's reduce taxes. We're not eliminating them by any way, by any means. If we are still earning earned income, you got to pay something. But if you're not earning earned income, if it's all passive real estate income, then you literally could wipe out taxes completely if done correctly. So there you go. It was tax day. It's over. Too late. Let's work on next year. Let's get you in here. Speaking of getting you in here, the people that I spent the weekend with, it was interesting. There was kind of a common belief of when I spoke to the people. You know, it wasn't, nobody came up to me. I'm trying to think. I don't think anybody came up to me, but very few people, if anybody, came up to me and said, hey, I need more money. I need to be rich. I don't get that from my clientele. What I get from my clientele is I need my life back, right? I need control of my life. I need to be able to do what I want, when I want, with whomever I want, and have enough money to be able to afford to do it. Because, hey, you can just quit your job and go do whatever you want to do, right? But if you don't have any money, you can't do anything, right? So one guy goes, I just don't want anybody to tell me what to do anymore. I thought that was, you know, what an adamant statement. Just stop telling me what to do. I want to do what I want to do, right? Another guy was like, I don't want to depend on this paycheck. The paycheck is like a noose around my neck. They've got me. I can't get away. If I jump off the stool, I hang myself. That's how he feels about a job. His job is a noose around his neck that if he jumps off the stool, he hangs himself, right? Some people are worried about retirement. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are that have worked. They have saved. They put money in a 401k. They have a personal residence. They've got their cars. They got their kids. They got their grandkids. But now they're at the age where it's starting to go, but how does all this work when I can't get up and go to work anymore? How do I retire? And they start looking into the options. And there's really, I think there's two options. Well, there's a third, but most of us can't get to it. The first and easiest one is to have a pension. Boy, if they'll give you a pension and they'll pay you the rest of your life after you stop working, that's a beautiful thing. But they stopped doing pensions because businesses were going bankrupt. Governments are really going bankrupt, you know, with all these pensions. They're paying people for the rest of their lives. But they can just keep taxing more and more people, so they have a way to do it. But for the businesses out there, they really can't afford to pay pensions onward forever. So what are the other two? Well, the other one is to save up gazillions of dollars. The idea is if you save a pile of money high enough, when you quit your job, you can start living off the pile of money. The problem is the pile has to be very, very high. Or your willingness to live at almost no cost of living has to exist. For example, most people are now living into their 80s and some people in their 90s. Even some people live in the 100s, but we'll just talk about the fact that, hey, I'm 70 years old. I'm still up walking around, working out every day. It's almost like 70 is the new 50 type of deal. I feel like maybe I was 50. But people are finding that, okay, I get to 60 and I was going to retire, but I don't have any money. I don't have enough money. So the financial planner says to them, well, you got really two choices. You can work longer and save more money. You got to make the pile higher, right? They don't have any other solution. You just got to work longer and make the pile higher. Or you've got to reduce your cost of living to next to nothing. You can live on, you know, 4% of whatever you have is what they're saying. So if you've got $100,000 in the bank, that's $4,000 a year. If you got $1 million in the bank, that's $40,000 a year. Now, if you can live on 40 grand a year, I think you'd probably quit your job right now. In addition to that, you can pull Social Security. Now, I looked at my Social Security, and I think mine's like $3,000 a month or something like that. But I'm 70, so I've gone all the way to the end where you get the maximum amount if you ever pull it. I haven't pulled mine. I probably should talk to somebody about pulling. There's probably some point where you should, even if you don't need it. But I don't know. I've always kind of thought, like, if God's blessed me enough that I don't need it, I maybe not take it. I don't know. Maybe I'd take it and give the money to a charity or to my kids or something. I don't know. One guy brought up a really interesting point. He said, Del, I feel cheated. I go, cheated, really? He goes, yeah. He said, I was told and ultimately convinced that the 401k would get me there, that if I put money in aggressively, and my boss matched with whatever the matching formula was for his company. I don't know what it was, but he said, I was told and I believed that when I got to be 60, I'd have enough money to retire. But as we went to break and we were talking about that, there's only two ways to retire. And one is to have a gigantic pile of money that is only going to pay you a withdrawal of about 4% per year is all you can afford to take and not run out of money. Now, you can take it. So let's say you have $400,000 in the bank and you're living on 100 grand a year right now. If you lived on that 100 grand and pulled that 100 grand out, you would be gone in 4 years. So what they tell you is you can afford to pull out 4% per year. So 4% of 400,000, 16,000, 12 months in a year. So that's going to be, you know, 1,000, maybe $1,200 a month or something like that you can take out. And you won't run the fund dry unless the stock market crashes or whatever. That's going to be burdensome. But I'm not even counting on the stock market crashing. The stock market goes up, it goes down. I'm just saying it just doesn't come out to be enough money is the problem. So the other way to retire is to replace your earned income, right? So when you look at real estate, one of the advantages is the tax advantage that you don't pay taxes on it. So if you earn $100,000 a year and you're paying Social Security and Medicare tax, that's if you're working for somebody else, that's 7.5%. If you're working for yourself, it's 15.2% or something like that. That's a lot. That's a big chunk. In addition to that, income taxes, most people are in the 33% tax bracket. I'm in the 42 because I make a lot of money. But, you know, if the 33 and then you've got this, you know, anywhere from 7, which would take you up to 40, or 15 for Social Security, which would take you up to 48, then you have where do you live? Do you have any state taxes? So you got to look at that. So like California and New York have like 12% state income tax, which, man, really brings you up almost to 60% of what you earn. So if you're earning $100,000 a year, you're living on 40 grand a year. Well, when you come to me and we sit down and we pencil that out, we go, you're really only taking home 40 grand a year. Well, let's replace the 40 grand a year, which is a whole lot easier than trying to figure out how you're going to replace the 100 grand a year. And if you're pulling the money out of your 401k, you got to pay taxes on that money. So that tax is there still. But if you're buying real estate to do it, then that tax can be eliminated. So it becomes, you know, 40 grand a year that you need to cover becomes, let me see what that is. I'm going to pull out my trusty radio calculator called a cell phone and just take 40 grand and divide that by 12. And so that's $33,000 a month. That's all we have to replace. Now, what happened is, and I guarantee you this because it happens to almost everybody, is you'll get up to that $3,300 a month and go, wow, that was pretty easy. Now, it might take you a year, it might take you 2 years, it might take you 3 years to get there, whatever it takes you to get there. And then you go, but I want more. Unlike your entire life where you couldn't go get more, you can't just today, whatever the day is, get up, go into the boss and say, boss, I want more money. I need more money. I need more to live on. Very ineffective approach to getting more money, I guarantee you. Just try it. In fact, you should try it because maybe he'll give it to you. But if he doesn't give it to you, we'll come out here and figure out a way to start putting some more money in your life. Because I talked to a guy, the guy emailed me, and I've got to call him. This guy's got a really interesting story. But he's got, it looks like $2 million between all of his assets. And he's still working like a dog. And he's miserable. So I can't wait to talk to him because it's going to be simple to fix this guy's problem. Because he's got assets. I mean, massive assets. You know, he's got about $2 million worth of stuff. Now, it's all spread out. Typically, your stuff's all spread out. Some of it's stuck in your home equity. Some of it's stuck in land somewhere you own or a second home that you own or maybe some rental properties you have that you've owned forever and there's massive equity but they're not paying you enough money to survive on and you need to redeploy that equity and leverage it up to where it does make enough money for you. There's all these different things we got to go through. That's what I'll do with this gentleman when I get on the phone with him. So you're going to need to make those kinds of decisions. But the first one is to understand you only have two ways. One is the pile of money method. And the pile of money method, I always joke and say, you know what your goal is when you retire, is your goal is to die before you run out of money, because the money's going to run out at some point. Otherwise, your goal is to produce passive streams of income. Now, here's an interesting thing about the passive streams of income. They never go away. So even when you're dead and gone, your family's still enjoying the passive streams of income. We take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
You don't have to keep guessing about your financial future. Learn how people use real estate investing to build income over time. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we've been talking about what I learned about people by doing the class this weekend. Very interesting to speak to people, find out where they're at and where they're going. One family was very interesting to me, is that it was somebody that had joined previous years and they were coming back for a refresher, and we were sitting there and at lunch, and the husband and wife were there, and people were going, so what did you get out of all of this? And it was really interesting, is that they said, more than anything else, it was the ability for my husband to see the kids. You know, because he had never seen the kids. He's at work all the time. So now he gets up in the morning, helps fix breakfast, take them to school, you know, help them with their homework at night. It's just amazing. He said, it's just the connection between the father and the kids has changed radically. I mean, and, you know, you think that we're on here on the radio show and we're talking about money. You think we're talking about getting rich and we're going to be some. This is not one of those YouTube videos with young kids and sharp-dressed kids saying, hey, I'm a millionaire after just 5 minutes. And, you know, I'm talking to billionaires like everybody in the world's a billionaire nowadays. By the way, a billion is 1,000 million. So if you don't even know that, it seems pretty hard to me. I'm not even close to $1 billion. There's no way. But think about that. 1,000 million, not 100 million, 1,000 million. So if you had 100 million, a billionaire was talking, you go, boy, you only need 10 more, you know, 10. You've got 100 million, you only need 900 million more. So it's so unbelievable to even think of somebody being a billionaire. It's ludicrous. But that's okay. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is getting your life back. That's what this is all about. And these people were really happy just by the fact that the father, right, could get it back. The other one I thought was interesting, I think I talked about this one yesterday. I thought it was pretty interesting. The guy said, I got the promotion at work. This really kind of freaked me out. He goes, I got the promotion. I got the pay increase. I got the corner office, so to speak, quote unquote. I got all the new reports reporting to me. I was now important and made more money. And he said the first day that he sat down at that new desk, he realized it wasn't worth it. All the years he had struggled to get to that position, he was now there. And he realized at that point that all it was the right to work for another 20 years. 20 years, right? And he was talking about the fact that he remembers all 20 years, all the struggles and the battles and the people that had come and gone to his company, and he survived it all. you know, the layoffs and the just not getting along together with the boss. And he made it through all that, 20 years. And he got to this new desk and he looked up and goes, I got to do it again for 20 more. And that's when he came looking for us. He said, I got to do something else. And I understand that. It happened to me when I had worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week for 12 years. And I had saved every penny I made because I was a young kid. I was in my 20s. I didn't have a family I didn't have to save money for. Or I didn't have a family I had to spend money on. So I could just save most of what I earned. I was a bodybuilder, so I was busy all the time. I didn't go out. I wasn't a party animal like that. I just, you know, work, put my money in the bank. I put it in the stock market. And I accumulated some money. I don't remember exactly how much it was. My guess is somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000. It seemed like a lot at the time of savings. And then Black Monday came, October 20th, 1987, which is my birthday, by the way, which was kind of an insult to injury. The stock market crashed. Y'all remember this is called Black Monday. Well, I lost a large chunk of whatever the value of that money was, and it didn't come back until after December. January the next year, the stock market didn't come back. And so during that period, I was like, you know what? There's got to be another way because I've worked my whole life getting to this point, saving this mountain of money, which I thought was a mountain of money, by the way. And then I lost it. And it wasn't anything I did. I didn't pick any bad stocks. I had the same stock portfolio I had when it was going up. It just happened to go down. And I saw that there was really no way I could count on working another 12 years at 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, that I would get to the end of that 12 years and the dollars would be there either. Because what if I saved it all back up again and it went away again? So I came to the conclusion I had to go do something else. And I went looking for this other stuff. And I looked at franchises. I looked at just everything and anything. I looked at day trading, you know. I looked at everything. And I came to the conclusion that owning a rent house where the check comes in every month was the safest of all the things to do. Hey, I could own a rent house. I could collect a rent check. I could put a tenant in there. I mean, that was simple enough for me. And if you really think about it, what is it? It's really about the simplest thing that you do if you understand how to do it right. And by the way, I took a lot of courses on how to do it. So I had a lot of ideas about the right way and the wrong way to do it before I even started doing it. I'm a type B. You do a lot of research before you do something. I did a lot of research. But luckily, I ran into somebody who just told me what to do. And it was because that gentleman just told me what to do and really kind of forced me to do it. And you say forced, maybe a bad word. He encouraged me heavily that if I don't do something, he's not going to help me anymore because I'm wasting his time. And so I said, okay, I'll do one. And I did one, and it worked great. And once it worked great, I go, okay, I'll do three more. You know, he said, how many more do you want to do? I go, I'll do three more. It was just one of those things, right? But you have to understand that you almost have to hit rock bottom before you'll do anything. Because when you're working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, or if you're only working 8 hours a day and driving 2 hours a day, right? Because you drive an hour to get there, an hour to get back. If you're spending 10 hours a day consumed with earning a living, when do you have time to think about the rest of your life? When do you have time to plan for the future? You really don't. Because as soon as you get off of that 10-hour day of hour drive, 8 hours work, hour drive, now you got to go home and see the wife or husband, by the way, you know, whatever, the spouse. And you got to go see the kids. You got to play with the dog. I mean, the greatest thing in my life is driving up into my porte-cochere, you know, through the porte-cochere into the auto court. I have a big, giant auto court. I have a 20-car garage. So there's a big round circle of garages, and I pick which one I want to park in. And I pull up, and there in the glass door, you know, is my dog. Happy as can be to see me. Wow, finally you're home. Finally you're home. It's hilarious. I love it. But then you got to spend time with him. You know, he's been waiting all day for you. So now you got to give him some time. You got to walk him. I've trained my dogs to do all kinds of stuff. I've trained my dogs to take the trash out because they're huskies and they pull things. So I have them take the trash out. And I was told by a training person that the more you have a husky feel like they're involved, that they're doing something important, the better they feel about themselves. So I make those darn dogs do everything. I make them go with me wherever I go. I go out to do gardening. I make them come with me when we go get plants and stuff. I make them stand there and guard the cart while, you know, I go get some more stuff to put on the cart. It's hilarious. But the bottom line is that was the stuff I could never do when I worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I could never spend it with my kids. I could never spend it with my pets or my spouse. In fact, my first spouse I lost. My first marriage I lost because I was working so long and so hard, and I had married her up in Wisconsin and brought her down here to Houston, and she never saw me. You take a 20-year-old kid and you bring her away, take her away from her mother and her sister, who are her life, and her father, have her come live with you in an apartment, and you go to work and work all day long every day, and leave her there. She just was miserable. Here's an interesting point. One of the things that people told me this weekend was that the biggest thing they liked is that the group was people just like them. It's all just common folk people. And one guy came up to me and said, you know, I have no idea. And I don't know exactly how he said this, but it was, I thought no one could own an apartment complex. I never thought I could own an apartment complex. He said, I thought it was like, you know, these billionaire people or you're somebody that had multi-generational money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They have no idea that the common people, just like you and I, we own many, if not most, of these apartment complexes out there. Now, surely some of these deals, we own them with more than one person owning them. You know, we get together in groups and buy them. But that's the whole idea of the community here, is that you have two things when you join up here that are just unbelievable. Number one is everybody will share. They'll share their finances to explain to you how they did it, and they'll share the operational expertise on how they actually did the real estate deals themselves. That's something you don't find anywhere else. That's just something that I started 36 years ago by being open about my stuff and then teaching everything everybody else taught me. I taught it back. We're just an open group. The second thing is, you'll be surprised, is how much the community sticks together. The people like each other. You know, one of the things they all say is, if you actually go come in here and do this and you start making money, and whether it's a little or a lot, you're going to run into two things. Number one, people don't like to talk about money because they don't have any, right? Or if they do have any, they don't want anybody else to know they do have any, et cetera, how they made it or whatever. Here, people talk about it. So it's interesting. It's fun. And if you're here and you're focusing on changing your financial situation, you want to talk to somebody, right? Secondly, is that people that are retired or retiring, they're now buying their life back from corporate America, don't want to hang out with people that are focused on the grind. They just don't want to hear the grind stories anymore. They've figured out how to get out of the grind, and they're tired of people telling them a story about this guy at work or that girl at work did this and did that and how the boss did this and cheated them and, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear exciting, fun, motivational things and travel. You know, all of them have kids, all of them have grandkids, and everybody loves their kids and grandkids. But I'm telling you, the most common thing people talk about is travel. They love getting out and seeing the world, whether they do it with their family or a lot of these people get together in groups and they take cruises together. They go on, literally rent yachts together. They go on trips together to places like Spain and Italy and Germany and Paris we went to this year. England we went to this year, London. We're talking about everywhere, right? It's just, they go all over the world. Now, granted, I don't travel anywhere where there's problems in the world. I'm kind of scaredy cat kind of guy. I'm not going to some place where there's, you know, people that are capturing people and holding them for hostage. I'm not that guy. But some people do. They don't care, especially if you have like a mixed nationality to you. You can travel all over the world. No one will pick on you. But I'm that rich old white dude that somebody's going to try to pick up and hostage, you know, ransom for money probably. So I've got that fear. But other than that, I travel everywhere, and I love it. And I think that's one of the things about the community is there's so many other people that are on the same page that want to do that, right? So the other thing they talk about constantly is the map. How do you get there? Everybody is sharing the map. It's an interesting word, the map. You have a map of everything you do. It's in your head. How do you go to the grocery store, right? How do you go to work? How do you go pick up your kids at school? There's a map for everything. But there's a map on how do you get a job? How do you keep a job? There's a map for retiring. There's maps for everything. Unfortunately, not all maps end up taking you where you want to go. Many times, you work your butt off. You struggle your entire life following a map that takes you to the wrong place. And then they tell you, well, you should work harder and faster, and you start taking time management courses, and you take efficiency courses, and now, you know, you're taking AI courses. Everything is to get you to work faster and harder. But faster and harder that get you to the wrong place still got you to the wrong place. The map's wrong. Yeah, working hard makes a difference when you got the right map. Having diligence makes a difference when you have the right map. Being positive makes a difference when you have the right map. But all that stuff means nothing when you have the wrong map. So hit me up. Send me something to AskDell@LUINC.com. Or if you want to join up, take a free workshop. Text the word radio to 88007. And remember, it's not the money we're doing this for. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.